stand.
Pray for the offering. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to give, Lord. We know the grace of God, that how he was rich beyond compare. He became poor for our sakes, Lord. And we just ask you to bless the offering today as people give what they've set apart in their hearts, and that you will bless the ministry through it and whatever may come as an expense along the way, Lord. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord has a plan.
me. He wants me to be like His Son. Isn't it just like the Father to want His best for me? He wants His highest and best for me. He wants me to be rooted and getting my lifeblood from the tree, the vine, the true vine, no one more divine, the fairest of the fair, the morning star that shines, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the only one that you can rest in, the beginning and the end. Ooh, God's very best. Do you see Him, my friend? Jesus did it all for you. He gave everything He had. He paid the price in full. Would you only look to Him if you could only get a glimpse of Christ upon the tree? The perfect, matchless, sinless one who died to make you free. He wants me to be rooted and getting my lifeblood from the tree, the vine, the true vine, no one more divine, the fairest of the fair, the morning star that shines, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. The only one that you can rest in, the Alpha and Omega.
Vicki. Let's pray again. Father, just ask in Jesus' name that you would bless your word as it goes forth. Lord, that I would make it understandable to the folks, and Lord, that you would magnify your name through it, Lord. And all blessing and glory go to you, Lord. For you've done all the work that we ever need. All the work that's been required on your cross, Lord. Not only saved us through faith, but Lord, it put an end to Satan's reign over this world. He's still in control. He's still in reigning over the world. He offered it to Jesus, and he still has it under his control, but he has no power anymore. The cross took away the power that he had, Lord. Now it's only delegated power, and he's only allowed to go too far, and we thank you for that, Lord. You're more powerful and mighty than anything. And we have that as an assurance, as confidence in you, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember from whence you have fallen. January 28th already, 2024. Jesus spoke that church, to the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2. It's not what this message is, but Paul here in Ephesians chapter 2, after all the great blessings we learned about last week and his the riches of his glory, of his grace, and our redemption, and our inheritance in the Lord, and all the blessings we have in the Lord and through him and because of him. We focused on the preposition and Christo to show where all our blessings came from. Paul's going to take a couple verses here to remind us of the wretched existence that we once had before we were in Christ. And he starts out in verse 1 of chapter 2. And you being dead in sins and trespasses in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Being dead in trespasses and sins. When Romans 5:12, when Adam sinned, he died. So death was passed down to all men, spiritually dead, unable to appreciate our new creation in union with Christ, or any other of the wealth of blessings that are ours as co-heirs with him. Trespasses and sins were all we knew. That's all we could do. But this is how we formerly walked. No longer do we, thank God. Then we were in tune to the course of the cosmos, the world system, all its fads and its agenda, and it's sort of a rip-off imitation of how the kingdom of God should be, but it's the complete opposite. But this is how we firmly walked in the cosmos. The system that is fashioned according to the prince of the power of the air. I like the prince of the power of the airheads, but it's A-E-R, the lower atmosphere where all the invisible demons and principalities and that are hanging out, making up the plan for the cosmos these days. Lewis Berry Chafer, he called it the cosmos diabolicus. And then the German philosophers, Der Zeitgeist, they called it the spirit of the age. But this is, like I said, this is only delegated power from Christ, being far above all rule and authority, power and any other name that is named in Ephesians 1:21. They can only go as far as he allows them. He's got the reins on them. This is the noon, the now spirit that energizes the sons of disobedience, apathos, where we get our word apathy or unpersuaded, that causes unbelief in the ones who are not persuaded. They could just care less, which is apathy. They could care less about the things of God. Jesus announced in John 12:31, now is judgment upon this cosmos. Now the ruler of this world is cast out by that same cross that saved us. The cross put a nail through his coffin. Through it, he triumphed over them, unclothing them of power and putting them to open shame in Colossians 2:15. The Spirit will convince the world of judgment, because the ruler of this cosmos has been judged, perfect tense, once for all. John 16:11. Verse 3, among them we all too formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And hoist in these, in the devil's agenda, we also walked. This time it's not peripateo, but it's on a strepho. That was our behavior. That's how we acted. We behaved ourselves formerly, living and according to the lust of our flesh. motivated by our appetites. We indulged in every feeling and thought was according to our fleshly desires. Formerly alienated and hostile in mind, Colossians 1:21, evildoers, when by nature sons of orge, wrath. Just like the hoi polloi, the rest of unsaved humanity. Enough for this walk down memory lane. You know how we always like to say, hey, back in the day, we don't want to even think about back in the day anymore. That's what some of us were that. But 1 Corinthians 6:11, we were cleansed, washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. But God, here he is again, plousios, extremely wealthy, in eleos, in mercy, compassion, and pity. He looked down from on high, saw the wretched existence that his beloved mankind, that he created in his image, had made for themselves. He put his mercy into action through love by sending his son, his only begotten son, to rescue us. Because of this great mega love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in transgressors, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, 2:1, and enemies, Romans 5:10, we believed, he made us alive together with Christ. I love this word. It's triple compound. Soon as our poiesin. Soon together, poiesin to be made, and za'o to be alive. He made us alive together with Christ. Also used in Colossians 2:13. Romans 6:4, 5, 8, and 11 tells of this, our co-crucifixion and our resurrection with him. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. By grace, it's a good one, you are being, have been, and always will be saved. Perfect passive participle. It happened in the past. It's passive. It was done to you. You didn't do it. And it's a participle, just another part of a verb. That's all that is. We won't go into that. But he finished his work on the cross and he saved us. 2:6, and raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Soon agero, raised us up together with him. Soon and agero, to make stand up. Colossians 2:12, having been buried with him in baptism, which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Romans 6:5, for we have become united with him in his death, also in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. This is our participation in the resurrection life and power of Jesus. It's letting him do it to us. Colossians 3:1, therefore, if you've been raised up, same thing with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Not only this, but we sue kephezezo, seated us together with him. That's soon, you can always know that if that's a prefix, that means together with. Ephesians 1:20, which he brought about in Christ, his power, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies now, where our politume, our citizenship is, Philippians 3:20. Verse 7, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. There it is again, en Christo. We have a hina purpose clause here, so that, or in order, so that in the aeons, the ages, the ones coming upon us, epi erkami, to come and epi upon, coming on us, we might, and dichnumi, show, display, demonstrate. Also used, that word dikaiomi in Romans 3:25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation through his blood. This was to demonstrate dikaiomi, his righteousness, because the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. 1 Timothy 1:16. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, the foremost of sinners, Jesus might, dikaiomi, demonstrate his perfect patience as an example. We've had that word many a time, hupotoposis, for those who would believe in him for eternal life. So that he might show what is the hupobalo, the surpassing far more exceedingly Plutarch's riches of his kindness, his Christotes, toward us in Christ Jesus. There it is again, nine more times in chapter 2, in Christo, or in him, or in whom. Nine more times in chapter 2. The source and giver of our blessings. In Christ, in, by, through, and because. Any of those are fine for and Christo. That he might demonstrate his kindness through Christ. Titus 3:4. But when the kindness of God our Savior appeared, his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but by according to his mercy. There is again mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Christ Jesus, our Savior. 2:8. Everybody should know this one. My son-in-law has it tattooed on his arm. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, the gift of God. No italics, sir. For by caritas, grace, unmerited kindness, and favor toward us, you are, and it is again, you are, have been, and always will be saved. This a perfect passive participle of sozo, once for all time and eternity. I know that everything, Ecclesiastes 3:14, I know that everything that God does will remain forever. There's nothing to add to it, nothing to take from it, for God has so worked that men should fear him. That which has been already and that which will be has already been in his mind. For God seeks what passed by through, by means of faith alone. We are saved in Christ alone, the object of our faith. I said last week, the faith, our object is Christ. That's why our faith is effective, not because of our faith, but because of Christ. Romans 3:24, being justified as a gift, the dorion, by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And also in Romans 6:25, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. 1 Corinthians 1:29. So that no man may boast before God. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. And we have ook, which is not, off from works, ergos, as a source. And we have another hina clause, so that no one may be able to boast, kalkaomai. I know I bring this one every time, I think, but Jeremiah 9:23, thus says the Lord, not a wise man boast of his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast of his might, let not the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, and that I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Okay, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Here we have Gar. For yes, indeed, we are his poema, his poem, his masterpiece, his workmanship, katiste, created in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are new creations. For this purpose, epi is used for purpose this time. For ergois, agathos, good works, divinely beneficial works or deeds. And these works were pro toimeo, pro before and toimeo to be prepared or made ready. These were by God made ready, so that, another hina, so that we may walk around in them. Works prepared by God and performed by God through us effortlessly by him and doing in us. Philippians 2:12-13, as we walk around by means of the Holy Spirit, producing fruit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. And in John 15:4-15:10, through the keeping of his commandments, we will bear fruit. Fruit zealous for these good works in Titus 2:14. Chosen before the foundation of the world to walk around in them. These are the only works that God will be glorified by, which is to the purpose, to the praise of his glory, of his grace. Back in 1:6, 12, and 14 of Ephesians. Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, the prepared beforehand works, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not. Israel was always stiff-necked. John 14:12, truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. This is the only way, by faith and by means of the Holy Spirit, to do any good works for God. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. We put on the new man every morning by spending time in his word, just like getting dressed, before anything else. Ephesians 4:24, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So you can't go wrong when you get dressed with the Lord in the morning. Ephesians 2:11, therefore remember, there's remember, that formerly you Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which was performed in the flesh by human hands. Dio, wherefore, for this reason, menemo menuo, remember, that's an imperative. He's telling you to, don't forget, remember. It's a command Paul was once again reminding us where we came from, before we were brought into this glorious position in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:2. You know that when you were pagans led astray by mute idols, however you were led. Ephesians 5:8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. John 12:35, walk in the light while you have the light. You will be sons of God. That you were once ethnos, or Gentiles, nations, in the flesh, who were legomenoi, who were called acrobustia, uncircumcision, by the ones who called themselves peritomi, the circumcision, made in the flesh, kairo poieo, hands and make, made with hands. But we know that circumcision or uncircumcision is nothing. But what counts is the new creation in Galatians 6:15. Something that the legalistic Jew was unaware of. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew who was one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in a flash, but he is a Jew who was one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart by means of the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. Nonetheless, Jew looked down at the Gentile, considered them as heathen. That's ethnos, that's how the King James does ethnos, heathen. We are the true circumcision in Philippians 3:3. Worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus alone, and put no confidence in the flesh. Colossians 2:11, and in him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and a removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. 2:12 remembers in italics that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers in the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Colossians 1:21, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. Galatians 4:8, however, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those by nature are no gods at all. Previously, we are separate. It's a word, chorus, without, separate from Christ, having been alienated, apolotriomenoi, foreigners or strange from the politeuma, the commonwealth of Israel. Being Gentiles, we had no knowledge of the law or of any Jewish traditions, such as circumcision. Being xenos, strangers, where we get that word, if you watch the news and they talk about the border, if you're against everybody pouring over the border, you're a xenophobe. That's where that word xenophobia comes from. The fear of strangers. We were strangers to the diatheke, the covenants of promise. In Genesis 15:8, the land grant to Abraham. Genesis 18:18, the promise that through his seed the entire world would be blessed. The Davidic covenant, that was a descendant of his, will reign on the throne of Israel forever. 2 Samuel 7:16. There's millions of other ones. Isaac got promises. Jacob, I didn't take time to look them all up. You can look that up on your own sometime, maybe, to see the different covenants and promises were made to the forefathers. We were not like Israel, who were God's own possession. Romans 9:4, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory of the covenants and the giving of the law, the temple service, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and from whom Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. We as Gentiles were having no hope and a theoi without God in the world. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. We once had no hope. We were a hopeless bunch of Gentiles, but always in the mind of God. Isaiah 9:1. Sorry. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious. By the way of the sea, on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. The promise that he was thinking of the Gentiles all the time. 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off, been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now in Christ, those who were formerly,
far off. We're made nigh. I like that word better. Became near. We became near by the blood of Christ and his finished work on the cross. Isaiah 57:19. By the blood, creating the praise of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near. Colossians 1:20. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace. There it is again. Through the cross. Through him. Whether things on earth or things in heaven. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our peace with God is based on the fact that we were justified by faith in his blood, having now been reconciled to him, the cross of Christ being the only basis for our peace. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who made both one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Himself is our peace, he himself. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Allow the peace of Christ to be arbiter, the barbion of your thoughts, making prayers and petitions with thanksgiving to him, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds, in, by, and through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6. Then having made peace, and making amphotera, the both, Jews and Gentiles alike, broke down, destroyed the fence or the wall, the one that was dividing the two groups and dividing us from God, as a matter of fact. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit we were all baptized, the one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made a drink of the same spirit. Ephesians 2:15, by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, so that he himself might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. Katargeo, abolishing, tearing down, destroying, making ineffective the wall. Same word in 2 Timothy 2:10, where he, katargeo, abolished death and brought death and immortality to light through the gospel. Through his death on the cross, he tore down the dividing wall, the ekthroi, the enmity, hatred. Now there was a lot of italics in that verse, but it should say the enemy, the law of commandments that no man could ever keep as long as he lived. Ordinances, dogma, doctrine, decrees, and requirements of Moses' law. Then there's another hina purpose clause, so that he himself might of the two create, katesis, one kainon anthropon, one new man. He lumps the Jew and the Gentile into one group, destroying the enmity between the two by tearing down that wall, dividing us from himself. Now having been reconciled, we have peace with God. 2 Corinthians 5:18, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law to all those believing. Ephesians 2:16, and he might reconcile them both in one body through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. In continuation of the hina clause from the last verse, and this subjunctive translated that he might reconcile, 2 Corinthians 5:18, apokatalazo, apo and katalazo, to change or exchange, to return to favor with God. The great exchange, I call it. Christ gave his life, being made sin on the cross, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:20-21. Therefore, we beg you, be ye reconciled. He reconciled them both through the cross. By means of the cross, apo Decinus, he killed or slayed, having slain the enmity, the hatred, by that cross. One body, one spirit, just as you were also called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That is Ephesians 4:4, 5, and 6. For by one Spirit we were made to drink of the same. 2:17, and he came and preached to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. That was, like I said before, that was a quotation from Isaiah 57:9. I always like this one. Psalm 85:10. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. And from 2 weeks ago, remember Isaiah 26:3. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. Further on in verse 12, Lord, you will establish peace for us, since you have also performed for us all the works. There's our pre-prepared works that he made us to live in now. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have our access to the Father. Hodi, which is because through him, there we have the word for both again, infratera, have prosagoge, access. Pros is before and ago is to bring, to lead, to bring, to lead to, which is also the same as synagoge, together. We've been brought together. Ephesians 5:2, through whom we also have attained our introduction by faith into this grace which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of glory. Access is prosagoge, okay, like I said, through faith into the grace in which we stand. And we boast, we exalt, kalkeomai, in the hope of the glory of God. Access through one Spirit to the Father, in whom we have boldness, confident access, through faith in him. Like we said before, we were made to drink of the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. And giving thanks through him to the Father. Ephesians 5:20 and Colossians 3:17. Verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household. No longer xenoi or paroikoi, strangers or foreigners, non-citizens, but Allah, strong but, on the contrary, citizens together with the set apart ones, the hagios. And we are now the household of God. Galatians 6:10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. 1 Timothy 3:15. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself. There's that onestrepho word. Conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Oiko theou, the household of God. Since Ephesians teaches of the mystery, we might as well go on to the next verse. The sign over the household reads, we spent a month or two on this one, 3:16 of 1 Timothy, by common confession. Great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. You should remember that verse. We spent a few weeks on it, like I said. Hebrews 12:22. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and through the sprinkled blood which speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Can't wait. We'll all be one big happy family in heaven. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Having been built, ep oikodomatha, oikodom, to build up, and epi upon. Oikodom is also the word used for edification. When it says edify in the New Testament, oikodom is the word. The foundation, the lowest part, the basement. It's the lowest part of the building, the familio, the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God was given me as a wise builder. I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Make sure the foundation is always Christ and him crucified. Build on the foundation of the apostles, the 13, including James and Paul, and the prophets, New Testament prophets, not old, such as Barnabas, Judas, Silas. Others were named in Acts 13:1 and 15:32 of Acts. Is more of a list of New Testament. These are ascension gifts given by Christ when he led captivity free. In Ephesians 4:11, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service through the building up of the body of Christ. But as always, Christ himself, the cornerstone, the stone which the builders rejected, has become the chief cornerstone. Psalm 118:22. This is what the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. You sing that song, didn't we? This is the day that the Lord has made. Jesus quoted this scripture in Matthew 21:42, Mark 12:10, Luke 20:17 about himself being the cornerstone. 1 Peter 2:4, and coming to him as living stones, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Peter quotes Isaiah 28:16, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. That's the cross. People were offended by the cross. There was a neighborhood that was next to a Christian church. It was next to Islam church. And the Islam went to the local government there and wanted them, insisted that they would take that cross down because it made them feel guilty. I love that. That's what it's supposed to do. I mean, oh, there's Mohammed. He didn't know about the cross. In whom that whole filled. Okay, we're right. 21 and 22. In whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And ho, in whom Christ, oikodom, the whole building, speaking of the church, made of living stones. 1 Peter 1:4-5. Coming to the living stone, Christ, the corner in verse 20. Being fitted together, soon armalageo, soon together with an armos, which is joint. 4:12 of Hebrews, the word sharp scalpel, dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and divides the thoughts and intents of man's heart. Colossians 2:19, not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body being supplied and held together by joints and ligaments grows with the growth which is from God. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body being fitted held together by what every joint supplies. We're all joints. We all supply something to the body according to the purpose, the proper working of each individual part caused the growth of the building. Up, building up of itself in love. It's a work that goes on in us as we continue in His Word, veiling ourselves to His dunamis power, and growing Oxana, growing, increasing into a holy temple and curios in the Lord, giving the growth and increase. Some of us plant, some water. God always gives the increase. In 1 Corinthians 3, 7, and 9, we are God's field, God's building. Do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit and God dwells in you? That is 1 Corinthians 6:10, I believe. I didn't write it down here. Verse 21, in whom also we are being built together, the soon ukedoim, into a dwelling or habitation, abode. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. Christ promising the Godhead, he already promised the Spirit, would dwell in the one who loves him and keeps his word. With the indwelling of Godhead in bodily form in us, Colossians 2, 9 and 10, we are made complete in him. Though we Gentiles, we never had all the covenants and promises that Israel did. We have Christ in us, the confident anticipation of our glorification. Colossians 1, 29. The unsaved Jew will have to wait till the millennium, because of their unbelief, for Christ to be in them and walking amongst them. Even though there's many promises that he would do that in the Old Testament, before they're able to see him with their own eyes. That's why our riches and our promises in union with Christ are so awesome, because they're fulfilled in Christo to the praise of the glory of his grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for his word. Lord, may it build up the body and edify, Lord, and just cause us to love you more and more all the time, Lord. And so we'll stick to it. Keep us going, Lord. And once again for Scott and Susie, Lord, keep them going. Give them whatever they need while they're going through this. And we ask you for all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
We could all stand.
I love.